He almost died. You have a compound fracture of the tibia in both legs, and the fibula in the right leg is fractured too. And as soon as the road's open, I'll take you to a hospital. In the meantime, you've got a lot of recovering to do. There is nothing to worry about. You're gonna be just fine. I'm your number one fan. My name is Annie Wilkes.
I think one of my clients, Paul Sheldon, might be in some kind of trouble.
You mean Paul Sheldon, the writer?
Well, everybody sure likes those misery books.
They had it at the store, Paul.
They said he checked out last Tuesday. Isn't that a little strange?
I guess it was kind of a miracle you finding me.
In a way, I was following you.
Who followed me?
Oh, Paul, I've read everything of yours, but the misery novels. You must be a good man, or you could never have created such a wondrous, loving creature as Misery Chastain.
Very kind.
The presumption must now be that Paul Sheldon is dead.
You dirty bird. How could you?
Misery Chastain cannot be dead.
Misery Spirit is still alive.
I don't want her spirit! I want her! And you murdered her!
You don't think he's dead, do you?
And don't even think about anybody coming for you, because I never called them. Nobody knows you're here. And you better hope nothing happens to me. Because if I die, you die.
Oh my God, I need to talk to somebody, and unfortunately it has to be you.
I don't. Okay. It's like, I don't know how I feel about that, but okay.
I don't know how I feel about that. So, I really wish T-Pure was here because he fucking put me in my place. Alright. I really hope that he doesn't actually fucking listen to this podcast.
You know he will.
No, not TPO. TPO can listen to all
the podcasts. Okay.
Okay, so. There's this guy.
Okay.
And he's a really fantastic, great dude. Like, I had no intention of, like, anything with him, because he's, like, so basic and white, like, fuck it, whatever, basic white guy,
okay.
Basic white guy, and we start hanging out more and more and more, and I'm like, what the fuck, and, like, oh my God, it's just all, it's so fucked up. So, Friday evening, we had an office holiday party.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking fantastic. I looked great. I won the ugly sweater contest.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I only won $50. I'm upset.
Okay.
So, afterwards, I didn't want to go home because it was only 11 o'clock. These people, like, they don't know how to party. Like, are you kidding me? 11 o'clock? Let's go to a bar. So I invite a bunch of people to go to the bar. And I obviously invite my friends, and I invite this specific white guy because we're friends.
Sure.
Well, come over with us. By the time he gets to the bar, he's already, like, half drunk.
From the,
like,
party?
From the party, and then as they were cleaning up, they were doing shots.
Okay.
And we all start having this conversation. And, like, halfway through, like, these conversations, he's sitting next to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he ends up just pressing his leg against my leg for, like, an hour and a half.
Wow, okay.
And then, like, and I wish I could, like, say something, but I'm already, like, I'm having a conversation with another drunk person, so, like, I can't say anything.
Okay.
So I'm, like, just sitting there, just with my leg pressed against this man's leg, and I'm just, like, What are you doing? What is this supposed to mean? What is this supposed to do? Are you trying to tell me something? So, me and my friend leave. I get, he tells me to call him when I get home, right?
Mm-hmm.
I get home, I'm in bed, I'm like, alright, he texts me, I'm on my way home. I'm like, okay, that's even better time to call. So I give him a call, we start talking, we start joking around. And I joke around with this guy a lot, and I always say, like, I got a big, comfy, cozy bed. There's so much room. It's so spacious. Right? That's because you know me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a fucking flirty-ass person. So I'm just like laying in bed naked, like half asleep, 4 o'clock in the fucking morning. I'm like, I've got this big cozy bed, like so many pillows, I've got cats. I'm like, I got Netflix. He's like, are you asking me to Netflix and chill tonight? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I'm halfway across the city already. I'm like, it was a joke. Why did you take it there? Why did you have to take it there? You did not have to take it there. So, that, and then we hang up the phone. Like, I let him know that my other friend got home okay. And he texts me. He's like, hey, what are you saying tomorrow? Because, like, I want to go out and do things. I'm like, I don't know, not much. Like, homework, basically.
Okay.
Like, just text me the details in the morning. 11 o'clock, he texts me. Come out, like, I want to take a drive around the city, like, text message, like, whatever. We make some plans, we go, he wants to go, like, holiday shopping, he wants to hit up all these, like, holiday market things that we have all over the city.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm like, all right, let's go. So, we hit up one market, it's really sweet, it's really cute, I have a great time. And then we walk to Starbucks, we have a great time at Starbucks, then we start walking to another market. We get into this market, it's paid. He pays to get me in, albeit it's only $5.
To get into a market?
Yeah, to get into this market.
Okay.
It's a really big, fancy market.
Oh, okay.
Get in, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, it's one of my favorite places to be at any time of the year in the city, so, like, we're just wandering around it. Next thing I know, a couple hours go by, we have dinner, we have a great time, we talk, we laugh, whatever. We leave, and, like, we're walking in and out of the stores, and looking at all the vendors,
mm-hmm.
and we walked out of one of the stores, and I was like, my hands are cold. I just turn and look at this guy, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm thinking, but I'm gonna do this. I literally go, my hands are freezing, give me your arm, and, like, I tuck them into his arm. And we walked around for like an hour and a half like that.
Wow.
I know. Arm in arm, Christmas market. Like, we.
It was a fucking
date.
All like, snuggled.
I know
what? All snuggled together.
Yeah, just all snuggled together, cold. Like, we got coffees and shit. Like, we look cute as fuck.
So, like, couple-ish.
Oh, yeah, we look cute. We look here. So that concludes, like, he walks me back, gives me a really weird white boy one arm hug thing. So, like,
Wait.
Yeah.
What type of hug?
One arm white boy hug. You've never had a one arm white boy hug? Okay. I'm sure you've done.
Is it like too. the half ass hug?
It's the only, I'm only going to use one arm, but I'm going to squeeze you too tight.
Okay.
One arm.
Okay.
Like, it's like, white people do it. White boys do it. I don't know what it is. It's like some genetic shit. And it's just not a good look. It's not a good look. It makes me uncomfortable. So I'm like, whatever, fucking leave. I leave. I go hang out with my girlfriends. We have a great evening. I get a text message around midnight. He's like, hey, how's hanging out with your friends going? I had a really great time tonight. Thanks for, like, the day. And I'm like, meeting's going great. Like, I just told him, like, yeah, everything's going great. We had a great time. And, like, well, yeah, thank you. Like, I love spending time with you. You cool as fuck. Kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I leave the conversation alone. Next thing I know, he texts me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, do you want to come over later today for the Steelers game? And I'm like, what? Of course I said yes, because there's fucking football. Here I'm thinking, like, we're going to go to a sports bar, it's going to be a bunch of us, we're just going to get rowdy, it's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's like, do you want to keep it cheap and just watch it at my place?
So you're going to NFL and chill?
We're going to NFL and chill. But this fucking guy right here wants to fucking hang out with me, 3 days in a goddamn row.
The only thing I can think of is, do you think he thinks it's something more?
listen, like, I'm quite clear. Like, I paid for dinner.
Oh, you paid for dinner. Okay.
I paid for dinner. When I went to go pay for dinner and I put my credit card down and I'm like, I had my hand on the check, the book thing and the bill and stuff, and I looked at him and I'm like, listen, I'm paying for dinner so you don't start thinking that this is, like, something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he's laughing. He thinks I'm kidding. I'm like, no, I'm like, bruh, there's honesty here. You are my fucking girl's boss. No. No. So I'm gonna go spend the evening with him at his house for the third day in a row.
Is that unusual for you?
Yes. I don't chill with people 3 days in a row. The only time I chill with somebody 3 days in a row is like when we're out doing like hardcore long week-long ceremonies. The only time I chill with people for that long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hang out with people. I don't do that. I rotate. I rotate my friends.
Hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're confused of why he wants to do it 3 days in a row, or...
Yeah, because it says something. It says something about how he's feeling me.
Right.
Right? It says something. He loves spending time with me.
That, yeah.
I love spending time with people. I love a lot of people. I love a lot of my friends. And I want to be around my friends a lot.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want to be around my fucking friends 3 days in a goddamn row. And, like, we have conversations about other girls that he's dating, and things like, we talk about everything. And, shit, now he's, like, 3 days in a row. So, of course your girl's all kind of fucked up. Like, does this white boy want to get it in? Does this white boy want something from me?
Mm-hmm. Besides sex.
Well, no, because I'm not going to sleep with him. I'm not just going to fucking sleep with him. He's my girl's fucking boss.
Do you... How does she feel? Does she know?
She knows that we hang out. She knows that we're friends.
Yeah.
But it gets a little complicated. A little complicated. Because... It's my fucking girl's boss.
Yeah, that's what kind of the point I was saying. Like, how does she feel?
She fucking thinks it's weird. I'm like, listen, I don't talk about you with him.
Right.
I don't talk about you with him. I've got a whole life. I've got a whole other people outside of you. I do not steer the conversation towards you. I do not say your name unless he says it first.
Hmm.
Because it's like she's a person that we have in common, so obviously you
right.
bring her up sometimes, right?
Right.
And he talks to me about his work all the time.
And you're not gonna bring up your girl's name.
No, that's none of his damn business. That's my girl.
Right. And is she like one of your best friends type thing?
Yeah. She's one of my ride or dies. I got ride or dies.
I can see on her point how she
weird.
Yeah.
I know. I feel real bad because
what if he says something about her, like job performance, whatever, and like, you know, he would say like, oh, you know, don't tell her, and obviously you're gonna tell her.
You immediately fucking tell her.
Yeah, you would tell her that like that second you leave.
Yeah, like no, he'd be saying it. I'd be like. Texting verbatim.
During,
are you kidding me?
No, you record as what he's saying and send it to her.
Just send it to her real quick. Quickly call her.
Yeah.
Call her on the phone.
Yeah.
Make her listen. But no, like the only time he talks about her is like to tell me like she's fucking a great worker, and I'm sitting there going like, yeah, I know. I realize these things. I get it. She's a hard worker. She does her fucking job, and she does it well. She's one of the best on his team. So, I get it.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
It's weird, because, like, literally, I'm walking arm-in-arm with her boss 1 hour. Next hour, I'm fucking cutting her hair.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting her hair. So, I'm, like, all kinds of fucked up. Like, what is this? What is happening? I don't understand. Nobody wants to hang out with me 3 days in a row. I don't want to hang out with me 3 days in a row. Are you fucking kidding me?
That.
And you know what? I started hanging out with him, and I was cool with it because he told me honestly at work one day, because we work in the same organization, but in separate teams. So he looks at me one day, and he's like, I'm just looking for some, like, meaningful ass connections. And I'm like, yo, that's where you are in life. It's not where I'm just whatever, just doing me at this point, right?
Right. How long have you known him?
Well, God, like, this close or, like,
general?
3 years.
Three years.
Two years now. Closer to three now.
Okay.
So like 2.5. Because like we work in the same organization. I've worked in this organization for 2 years, right?
Right.
And then, because like I was on the board of his organization.
Uh-huh.
So technically at one point I was his boss.
Ah.
Yeah, right? This is all kinds of fucked up. I love it. Right. Like, I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? And, like, if I go over and, like, it's literally net, if he puts on the football game and it's just me and him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'll know. He really wanted me to go for dinner, too. He really wanted me to go over early and have dinner with him. He was just like, hey, if you want to come over early, I'm making pasta that night. Like, you're more than welcome. I'm like, don't worry about it. He's like, well, I just want to know because of my portions. He's like, so boy wants to cook me dinner.
So kind of like, just, is it just going to be like a relaxed, is that what you're hoping for? Just to relax, watch the game, have fun?
Exactly. I'm sitting here going, please God, please Lord in heaven, this guy just thinks I'm fun.
Or it can turn into a misery type of situation.
I don't want no misery type of situation right now. Like, I don't need to go in there and be like, and he, like, breaks my legs and shit. I don't need that. Like, that's my life for the last fucking 3 days.
Does your friend know about tonight, though?
No.
No.
I don't know if I should tell her.
If it's your ride or die friend.
She's on Snapchat anyways.
If it's your ride or die friend, you kind of don't keep anything from her.
But, like, what do I say to her? Like, listen, your boss wants to hang out with me 3 days in a row.
That is kind of, extensive.
Right? Like, that says something. And, like, I'm not clear of what it says, because, like, if it says, like, if I knew for a fact, like, this guy just really wants to be around me sometimes because I'm cool as fuck,
mm-hmm.
That's cool. Then I could be like, listen, me and a bunch of homies are going over to his place to watch the game. Do you want me to ask if you can come?
Right.
That kind of thing. Like, I could do that.
You could, yeah. You could.
But I'm not clear.
You're not clear on the situation.
I'm not clear what he wants from me.
I could see that.
Yeah, so whatever. That's all. That's just... This is why I don't fucking date. This is why I just sleep around with people. Because this shit's complicated. This gets dirty. This gets messy. I don't like it. Just sleeping with people is so simple, so easy. Get in, get out. Leave. It's done. It's over. Never have to call that person again. Never have to text that person again. You have no obligations to that person. I feel like I'm obligated to this man now.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're holding your friend above, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that's my girl.
Yeah, that's the shittiest part.
Uterus before deuteruses. That's it.
Nah.
Like, at the bar, I mentioned to him, I'm like, listen, like, my ride or die girl. Like, that's my girl right there, right? That's my ride or die. And he's like, oh, am I one of your ride or dies? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? Fuck it, yeah. Because you can just get that title. No, you earn that respect. You earn that shit. You gonna earn that shit? When you start earning that shit, that's when I started. None of this drunken leg pressing shit. None of this fucking late night texting me.
Mm-hmm.
None of that. None of that. Get out of my face, white boy. But last night, this is what I wanted to fucking actually talk about on Throwback Tuesday, because I'm about to call out one of the hosts on movie spoilers right now.
Should we need like dramatic music? Right.
Yeah, we should totally do some dramatic music, because it's not even that bad. It's fucking hilarious. This is now me and Cody, we Snapchat. That's what we do. We Snapchat each other.
Can I ask a question before you go into the story? Yeah. What is the fascination with fucking Snapchat?
No, it's easy, it's simple, it's quick, and you know what? There's no evidence that you ever did anything.
Unless someone screen snaps it.
But it lets you know when they screenshot
it. Does it?
It does.
Okay.
Right? So, like, if you want to get down and dirty, like, there you go. You got Snapchat. There it is. It's gone forever. No one ever sees that shit again. I usually use it to generally just show my friends shit and talk to them, right?
Right.
I don't use it for nasty stuff.
Snapchat's like, what's the difference between that and just sending a picture through like a text, you know? It's pretty much the same thing to an aspect.
Yeah, to an aspect it is, because the person gets to see the image or the video, but then it goes away.
There's a video now.
You can do video.
Oh, okay.
You can do video. It's really fun. It's a great way of communicating with your friend.
Okay.
So, like, you can send a picture, you can send a video, you can send, like, just, like, text.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's great. It's a good thing. I like it a lot. But everyone knows me and Cody Snapchat.
Right. No.
Now, does it get a little, like, a little frisky? Not really. Does it get a little flirty? Of course it does. But, like, it's nothing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until last night.
Oh.
Until fucking last night. Cody fucking Williams, drunk off his fucking ass. Like, see, I'm telling you right here, right now. He was blackout. It was hilarious. He was, like, laying on the floor in somebody's house. And there's, like, Christmas trees and, like, children's toys, so maybe he's at home or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's fucking laying on the floor, and he's just like, hey, Miss Brown, sexy lady. Just laying it on real thick the entire night. And, like, it wasn't, like, he's like, I'm about to fly to Canada right now.
Wow.
I saw drunk Cody hit on me.
And what were you saying? Wait, was this the same time as you were texting the other guy?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course. Jesus Christ, I got... Not my fault they all just fly in.
Fly?
Your girl is cute. Your girl is gorgeous. Your girl is fun, and she's fly as fuck. That's what it is. It's fine. I get it. So that fucking, I'm never gonna fucking forget this one snap. He's like laying on a couch with those deep ass fucking U-necks that he goddamn wears. That fucking hipster. He's just like, I'm about to fly to Canada right now. You don't even know. And he's like blowing me kisses and shit.
Wow. So he was gone, drunk, mm-hmm. past the point of no return.
Yeah.
Oh, Cody.
I'm just like in love with that. I was just like, it's just so fucking funny. Kills me every day. Oh, I've been laughing about it all day. I was just like, just randomly, I've been cleaning all day, and I'm just like chuckling to myself.
So that's like something that's imprinted in you. Anytime you get upset, you just think about that, and you just kind of laugh.
It's just like, oh, God, I just remember And blow kisses, then wink.
And the wink.
Oh God, so many winks.
So the smooth Cody winks.
Yeah, the smooth drunk Cody winks. Like it was a good time. I got confidence today because of that. I was just like, that pretty boy was hitting on me last night.
Were you laughing at him, like when you were sending stuff back, or what?
Oh God, no.
No.
God, no. When someone's that pretty fucking does stuff like that, you return it. You return it real quick. So that's it.
Sure, that was a fun night for you.
I had a blast. A fucking blast. Oh my goodness, I had a fucking blast. But no, the Cody sealed, Cody topped anything that happened that evening. Fuck all that. Don't give a fuck about that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure then.
Later. But Cody, that fucking... That fuck.
I'm sure that topped everything.
It did. That fucking drunk ass motherfucker, he was like angling and shit. I was like, oh my God. And if he was a little bit more sober, he was just a little bit more fucking sober, I probably would have gotten real good Snapchat. Hell yeah. I did warn him last night. I'm like, listen, I'm going to talk about this on fucking Throwback Tuesday. I'm just letting you know.
And he was probably so drunk, he probably doesn't even know.
He doesn't even fucking remember. It's so fucking funny. I'm going to snap him later. I'm going to call him out so hard. I'm going to call him out right here, right now. Own up to it, Cody, because I know you. I see you. I see you trying to play that good guy-ass game here, and it's not working, bro. It's not working. Be who you are. Be who you are. Just embrace it. Just be that guy. Just be that guy I know you are. Just be that guy that I saw that night.
Be your true self.
Be yourself. Like, I'm myself. You're still in denial about your pimping. That's alright. Me and TPO are like the only ones who are just like, yeah. Oh, this is us. This is us. This is what you get. This is how I talk when I'm talking with somebody else. I don't just turn this on the fucking podcast all the time.
You don't put on an act.
Mm-mm.
Or a different, or like persona type thing.
Nope, this is me. Every facet you see of me, every emotion that I go through on these podcasts, this is me. This is all me. Sometimes I get real hood, though. You know? You take the girl out of the hood, but you can't take the hood out of the girl. It's just a thing.
The hood comes out.
The hood comes out. TPO knows this. He got it. He knew. He knows. He's a G. You know.
I'm sure.
Anyways, everyone, welcome to Throwback Tuesday. This is... We're on episode 125, I do believe.
125.
125, and I'm Sammy.
This is Z.
And today we're reviewing
Misery. Misery.
That's a movie. Yeah, it's based on the 1987 novel by Stephen King.
Yeah, which is probably this has to be. I mean, a writer, a fan, you know. I'm sure that was kind of a little freaky, him doing that. You know what I mean? Kind of like a fear of his.
Maybe. It could be. Well, yeah, when you have obsessive fans.
Because like, I don't know. I can't remember exactly when, but didn't he get, like, in a really bad accident, like, in a snow not that long ago?
Did he? Did he, like, Stephen King is a sick, twisted fuck.
He is. Especially his first ones. He's just demented.
Well, his first novel was Carrie, which is still one of the best stories of all time.
It is. It's one of my favorites, along with Pet Sematary.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, what? That was in 1973.
Yes.
And then he did Salem's Lot a couple years later, which is one of my favorites.
That's your favorite King book?
It's one of my favorites.
One of your favorites.
Like,
it's a good one. It's a good one. Shining is a beautifully written book.
Yeah, like, and then obviously the Dark Tower series, because everybody likes those.
I like Stand.
Oh my god, I'm trying to remember, like, what is my first, like, what is my favorite Stephen King novel?
Well, I know Pet Sematary is the first one I ever read. That was in school. And I absolutely loved it. I just loved, like, it was actually probably, like, the first real, besides, like, Kill a Mockingbird, but it's, like, the first, you actually, like, pitch, like, you actually see it. Like, just the way he wrote, it was absolutely, like, a beautiful, beautiful written book and amazing story.
You know what? I like Firestarter.
I like the movie. I was okay with the book.
I like the book better than the movie, but the movie was pretty good.
Well, what's your favorite Stephen King movie book or movie?
Well, ooh, that's Shining. The Shining.
Shining's up there, yes.
Because every single time I watch The Shining, I see something else that I didn't fucking catch.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those movies that is just so layered. Like, the story, everything, it's so layered. There's, like, little things in the background that you pick up on, and, like, mm-hmm. I really enjoy that. So they took the creepiness and the creepy factor out, like, with The Shining, and then they gave it to somebody who is just equally as fucked up.
Yeah, Kubrick.
Yeah, just equally as fucked up, and you just put those two twisted minds together, and you get something amazing.
Yeah, Kubrick was, without a doubt, probably the best director for that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. He's done he's what, like maybe a book a year?
About a book a year, and then like in the early 2000s, he did like a limited series.
Mm-hmm.
With Marvel.
A lot of people don't know. A lot of people, like, I completely forget that he did Green Mile a lot of the times.
Green Mile.
I completely forget he did it, but, like, Cujo, Christine, Dinner, It, Dead Zone. Awesome. Awesome books, awesome, you know, movie. I like the movies, too.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is probably the best horror writer of all time, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dean Koontz tries to. He tries to, but he kind of fails.
And I think you're right. I think you're right about King being hit by a car.
I just don't remember when. I don't remember when that happened.
I don't think it was in around this time. I think, well, actually, no. Because Misery, it came out in 1990.
Right.
And then I think Stephen King was hit by a fucking car in, like, 2000?
Maybe it was 2000. Okay, yeah, 99. Yeah, it was back in 99. He got hit. Bones were shattered. It was legs, had 5 operations in 10 days.
Jesus.
That's, you know, I'm sure when that happened, I'm sure he had a misery popped in his head when that happened.
Yeah, like when he's sitting in the hospital and, like, laying in the hospital and shit for a while.
Yeah.
Thinking about Misery.
Yeah, so.
Just laughing.
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, that's, Misery came out, what year did you say it got released?
Misery in 1990.
The book, I'm at.
The movie. The book? That's a good question. Because I'm not sure.
87.
And that won the Bram Stoker Award.
Which is one of the top for horror writers.
What else? What else won the Bram Stoker? Won a Bag of Bones, which is fucking great. Bag of Bones is also a good book.
I haven't read that one.
Fucking Cujo.
Love it. I also like Needful Things. I thought that was a pretty good book.
Yeah, like...
Movie was shit, but the book was good.
Yeah, the book did good.
Like, you can look at through his stuff. Wait, Bag of Bones, which... That was a movie, wasn't it? Did that turn into a movie? Or a miniseries? Miniseries.
I think it was a miniseries.
Because I'm looking through his history. A lot of his stuff is turned into a movie. It's kind of like shortly after the book's released.
Well, people pick up on these things, and they're just like, yes.
Like, any of the Dark Tower series been a movie?
Not that I know of.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of his stuff, like Needful Things, Tommyknockers, Stand, they were TV miniseries. He's done a lot of those. I think, was it a miniseries or was that a full movie? I can't remember.
I can't remember either. Don't ask me. Like, I don't... Have I read Stephen King's books? Yes.
It's like really, who hasn't read one of his books? At least one.
Somebody has. You've at least read at least one of Stephen King's novels.
Yeah, I think I did it for a book report. I did Pet Cemetery.
You did too?
Mm-hmm.
I think I did it in like grade 6 or 7.
I think I was a freshman. But his, you know, I love his work. I haven't really read any of his new stuff.
Neither have I.
It's because, you know, back then when his stuff got released, it was like a big fucking deal, you know? It got really hyped up. And I think, Clancy novels are probably the biggest. Because books don't get, like, mainstream press like they did back in the day.
No, they don't.
A lot of it's, you know, you can just watch it on your Kindle or something. But, like, when his old stuff got released, yeah, it was a big fucking deal. But now it's just, like, you never know when something got released. Like, I'm looking right now. He's got an upcoming novel for next year, and he's got one called Finders Keepers. It got released back in June.
What is this man doing? Jesus Christ. All he does is write.
Oh, yeah, he's got a lot. He's released a few in the same year. And I'm like, Jesus, man. Like, Christine and Pet Cemetery was released, like, in a 6-month gap.
Jesus Christ, is he writing these, like, books at the same time?
Maybe. I mean, if he's doing that, give that fucking man a gold medal.
I do remember, like, he does do some, like, political stuff, like he used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure so much anymore, but, like...
He was big. He was really big on it.
He's really big in, like, censorship.
Yeah.
And I think it was all about the... Like that bill about banning or restrict the sale of like violent video games to anybody under 18.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I remember that. I remember he's just like, no, that's not right.
Yeah, I mean he's kind of out. I want to say he's kind of out of the spotlight a lot now.
He is.
I mean. I think he was only, as memory serves me right, I think he was only in one movie that he was in, and that was Creepshow.
Yeah.
I mean, he just pretty much writes, but you never see him on talk shows, you never see him do anything like that, any public appearances, you don't see that. He's kind of just floating under radar. Which
everybody knows who Stephen King is.
They know the name. They know the face. But he is probably one of my favorite authors, without a doubt. It's just because his shit pulls you in.
Yeah, and it's great.
Like, I think I read Pet Sematary, even though it's like, I think it was like 300 pages or what so. I probably read it like in 2 days.
Yeah, it's a great book. You don't
want to put it down.
Yeah, you don't want to put it down.
And that's what you want in a book. You really want that in a book. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll just read one of his new ones just to see if he, because, you know, talent, writer's talent probably could diminish over time. But with him, I don't know. He's been on point with everything before, so.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last book I read from him.
Didn't his wife write a book?
Not sure.
Pretty sure his wife writes books.
I wonder if she writes with him.
Writes with him? They're like side by side? No, I wouldn't like that. Fuck that.
Or maybe she helps him, because obviously you get writer's block regardless. I mean, you probably get writer's block doing stuff for work or school or whatever.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure he gets it. I mean, it's common. And I wonder if she, you know, helps him. Yeah, she's an author. Not seeing anything of note. But she's a big activist, too, with him. So, if I remember correctly, I think it was right after his accident. He got, like, he was all over. That's, like, the last time I pretty much remember seeing him in public. All over, like, you know, supporting all this law, this bill, everything like that, this candidate. He was just everywhere. It's because you said it best about the video games. Well, that was probably his biggest thing. But let me pull up Misery because I was looking at Stephen King.
Misery.
Scary fucking
movie. Want to give this a little plot synopsis for the people?
Yeah, Misery, directed by Rob Reiner, starring James Caan, Kathy Bates. Budget $20 million, box office $61.3 million. And you have James Caan playing Paul Sheldon, who's a famous writer of romance novels. And he gets into a car accident in bumfuck Colorado. I don't know. Yeah, it was Colorado. And gets stuck in a blizzard, crashes his car, gets pulled in from a nurse named Annie Wilkes, played by Kathy Bates. And she pretty much nurses him back to health, keeps him contained. Hostage situation here, somewhat. And pretty much forces him to rewrite the book and make the character Misery live.
Yep. And she read one of his manuscripts and did not like that.
Nah, she didn't like when he had Misery die at the end.
He doesn't get out of the car!
So, and I like James Caan. I really do. He, obviously Kathy Bates, was the fucking star of the movie. She won an Academy Award for this.
I can see why.
She was, oh God, that was the definition of bipolar. You want to know about bipolars? Just watch fucking Kathy Bates in this movie. I just don't think, Caan, I've seen him do, you know, amazing fucking acting work. I just don't think this was his best. Yeah.
No.
Like, he kind
of definitely wasn't.
Like, I don't know if, I don't want to say he mailed it in, but I would say given his character and his situation, I can see why he's not himself. But I just don't, this wasn't his best performance. By far. But Kathy Bates was goddamn amazing.
yeah, she was fucking phenomenal in this movie. Oh my goodness. So like this entire thing, albeit, yeah, it gets a little hard to watch because it's like, it's old. This thing's like, what, how old now?
Almost 25 years.
25 fucking years old. This thing's almost as old as I am.
It actually got released November 30th, so it's a little over 25. It's 25th anniversary just last week or a couple days ago.
Jesus Christ. But this movie is definitely a classic. You can see the classic in it.
Yeah, you can. I mean, it does take a while to build up to it.
It does.
I'm not saying I don't want to say it's drawn out. I mean, it keeps you there. Kathy Bates was very friendly until she reads the manuscript, and then all hell goes, you know, shit hits the fan. But that was, what, a half hour into the movie?
Yeah, just about a half hour.
About a half hour. But, you know, I would say that's where it starts picking up. That's where the movie gets its life, is where when she pretty much turns crazy. That's where the movie picks up its steam. Because you never really, when she was on screen, when that happened, when she, you know, when she read the manuscript, you never know which character you're going to get when she walked in the room.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. That's great, you know, writing, directing. Because every time, she even changed face during a scene with the whole paper smudging thing, which I don't understand why she got pissed at that one. Because she saw it happen, and she did it herself when she smudged it. I don't know why she would lose her shit. She's like, you know, that was just me. I just don't know why she lost her shit at that when he proved to her that it smudged.
It's really hard to say something because this woman is obviously not well.
Not in the least.
So obviously she's not going to fucking react appropriately in any given situation.
It's kind of like, you know, if you're pouring salt on your food and the cap comes off and then salt everywhere, like, she would probably kill the waiter. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's the thing. That's why I thought she was absolutely, you know, a great character. She's probably one of my, next to Jack Nicholson and Shining, Kathy Bates is probably my favorite Stephen King movie character.
She's phenomenal in this movie. There's like certain scenes that like were like amazing and wonderful. There is the one talk when it's nighttime and she first shows him the gun.
Mm-hmm. Where she's all like, she's depressed.
Yeah.
And that just kind of just, then she left and don't know why she left. You don't know where she went.
Yeah, she just leaves and you don't know. Because the movie is focused on him.
Right.
In this room.
Well, it's kind of like the realization, like, it's hitting, it's finally, like reality is finally hitting her. His legs are, you know, on the mend, and she knows the time is coming that he's going to leave. Plus, you know, she's at an advantage, she's in a fucking wheelchair, you know, she's at a strength advantage there. So she knew that she had to do something soon. And that's kind of where her breaking his feet, which is, oh God, such a grueling scene.
It is horrendous.
I mean, you literally feel it. I mean, it's cringeworthy. It really is.
Yeah, it is.
Because you see the after effects, you see the feet just with the next to the board, kind of like it's like just, you know, hanging on a thread. Oh, that scene is probably that's probably one of the most cringe, even though it's not gory to like an, you know, extent, but that's fucking real, like that's like real life.
Yeah,
Like, you can actually picture that happening all the fucking time.
Well, see, their budget for this movie was not very significant for 1990, was it? What was their budget for this movie?
20.
20? 20 mil?
20 mil. And that was probably...
That's pretty good chunk of change.
That was probably their, you know, Kathy Bates, James Caan price. You know, that was probably maybe 10 million of it.
So they did, you can see, but they didn't have to have a very significant budget for the, like, the sets and things like that.
Right, you know, you have pretty much a one setting, which is the house.
It's not even a house, it's that one room.
Right, I mean, you only see glimpses.
How often did you leave that room?
Three times, maybe. I think the two times he left, and then when the sheriff came, you followed him. That's probably the three times.
Yeah, like, you don't leave this room.
How long was he there? Was that ever brought up?
I don't think that was ever explained, but, like, it takes a significant amount of time for... like, broken bones to mend, even in some way.
Right. I would say he had to been there. Well, you gotta think. You got the sheriff still looking for him. They, you know, it's like, they found his car, and they're like, when the snow thaws, we'll try to find his body, unless the animals got to him. So obviously this happened, because you gotta think, there's going to be a time when the sheriff's like, you know what? He's dead. You know, we can't find his body. He's dead. We're just going to give up the search. But the one sheriff, Buster, he just kept the investigation going. So obviously, I want to say this is probably about a couple weeks. That's how I see it, because how the time frame is, a couple weeks. I mean, though... he was probably in bed with the leg, because he couldn't bend his leg, because he had those, stilts on.
Yeah, he has whatever they were. I don't know. Splints?
Yeah. Obviously, he couldn't bend it, and then when he got in the wheelchair, he could maybe just bend it a bit. But, so that obviously probably took a while, so... I mean, who knows? It could have been a month. Who knows? It could have been months. But it didn't seem like it. It literally seemed like maybe a week. Or a few days. Given the, you know, the pacing of the movie, you couldn't tell.
Yeah, you have no idea how long he was there. And I think that's to its merit. I think they did that kind of thing on purpose.
Right.
So, like, you don't know how long he's there. And he, at a certain point, when you're held captive, you don't know how long you've been there. You lose that. You lose your sense of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it's been a while since I've seen this movie. I knew the ending, but, like, you know, first time watching this, you're thinking maybe you can get the Stockholm Syndrome, where, you know, he does fall in love with her. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's certain aspects, but, you know, he was playing her. The whole time, he was playing her. And, you know, you could think that could be happening at that time.
Yep, you really can.
I mean...
it seems a plausible thing. Because, like, when you're put in that situation, obviously you're going to do whatever you have to so you can survive.
Mm-hmm.
You want to survive.
Right.
And so he's like, okay, the only way I'm going to be able to survive is if I give her what she wants. And every time he tries to test one of those boundaries of, like, pushing it, like, not doing what she wants,
mm-hmm.
he gets in trouble. He gets hurt. She goes after him, or she threatens him. Remember the scene where she brought the barbecue in and where she wanted him to
burn,
set his manuscript on fire?
Yeah.
And she, like, he wouldn't do it. And then she starts walking around his bed, just flinging lighter fluid at him.
Yeah, and kind of, he was trying to say, oh, I already sent it to my editor, and she knew every aspect of his life.
Yeah, she knew everything about him.
Which is creepy in itself, but, you know, with that, she played the puppet master with him so well. Like, she knew what she can make him do, and he would have to do it, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. When you threaten somebody like that, yeah, you're going to do what she wants.
But there, I mean, when there were sometimes you would see him and be like, you know, you thought he was stupid. I would say it was a risk, you know, the times when he went. I love the first time he left his room and getting, you know, and when she came back home. You know, that's perfect. That's a perfect dramatic scene right there. Because you got, you know, her walking in and he's still going back to his room.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was an extremely perfect dramatic scene. And then she comes back and he's just covered in sweat. And he had to think of like a quick thing to say. Yeah. But, I mean, I thought their chemistry was absolutely beautiful, too. They had perfect chemistry with each other. They played off each other really well.
I'm going to disagree with that. I feel like he did not step up to the plate like she did.
I don't want to say she was over the top. She was not over the top.
No.
Like I said, like, he wasn't his best performance. You know, it looked like he mailed it in. But he still played the victim really, really well.
Yeah, it might have been towards, like, in speaking to the character that they played, because obviously she was able to give more dimension, more, like,
right,
more depth and more range.
Right.
Him, on the other hand,
he had no dimension.
Yeah, he's just this guy trying to survive.
Right. It's kind of like, do you want to say the viewer is kind of in, like, you're obviously seeing it through his eyes, but do you think it's kind of like, I don't want to say it, like, you are pretty much held captive by her?
Yeah. You're just held captive. Like, a woman has you, like, literally strapped to a bed. She shaves you, she feeds you.
Bays
you, probably. If you don't do what she wants, she's gonna fucking kill you.
Yeah.
Hurt you.
They only, that's when she brought the gun, like, you would really think that she wasn't gonna do, like, a murder suicide or whatever her plan was. You would never have thought that.
No.
Until you said when she came in at night when it was, you know, raining, she had the gun. That's where you knew that was kind of, it was going into that, you know, that realm.
Mm-hmm. She started evolving, and you can see it slowly, because in the beginning she wasn't this.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't what she was at the end of the movie. You see a progression of it, the extremes and the dualities coming out more and more and more and more as the movie progresses, as their relationship grows.
Do you think it was too early for her to tell him about, you know, him being pretty much stuck?
What do you mean?
Well, you know how she says, oh, you know, I didn't call your agent, I didn't call your daughter, you know, you're stuck here, if anything happens to me, you're dead. You know, do you think she did that too early? Do you think they should have built that more up on him, with him, on his character? No.
I think it should have had more of an impact with him.
Yeah, you're right. It didn't really have. It didn't seem like it was an impact on him.
Yeah, because I feel like he already knew.
Yeah.
I feel like he had he knew. He knew. Also, thank you everyone for making me watch at least semi-decent film today. This time.
One thing I did thought it was stupid on his part, when he put the pills underneath the mattress and then the knife, you knew the way she was taking care of you, you knew she was going to change your sheets or in a small amount of time. That was going to happen.
Yeah, you would have to fucking put the, like, you got to hide them better than that.
Right. I liked how he had the knife in his sling. I thought that was creative.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just thought that was, obviously, you're in a spot, you know, I see in a situation, be like, well, I got no place to hide it. I can see that, but I just thought that was kind of careless on his part, because she was going to find it. You knew that was going to happen when he first put the pills underneath. You knew he was going to find it.
Oh, yeah, you definitely knew she was going to find it. Of course she's going to find it. Like, and then there was the scene where he got the bobby pin.
Right.
And then he picked a lock.
Yeah. And I never seen anybody use a bobby pin to lock a door before. Never seen that before.
Yeah, I've never seen that either. And then she... And then when she returns, right?
Yeah.
And she holds up the bobby pin.
Like, where did she find... Like, where did he stick that anyway?
Where did he... Did he just drop it? Did he just leave it there? Like, where? How did she get that bobby pin?
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Little nuances that would have been fine if, like, she was walking through the house and she looked down and she sees a bobby pin, because this house is immaculate. Every image that we have of these anything outside of this room, even within the room, is immaculate. Everything is in its place. Everything is dead, like on the shelves and. Every little thing means something.
And it took her a while to realize that he left the room.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, even I just kind of wonder if she knew he left the first, you know, if she knew and then she was just kind of like toying with him.
Yeah.
That's what I kind of thought. But when one thing I did kind of question, when they were in the helicopter and they go, that's the Wilkes farm, wouldn't you think, because obviously her place is probably not far from the accident, wouldn't you ask? Wouldn't they have stopped and asked her before?
Yeah, they probably would have, but they probably also saw the crime scene and they wanted to make sure that he wasn't within the immediate vicinity.
Right.
I like the idea. Like, there's like little things. Like, you see this, like the scene with the pig.
Right.
Remember when she lets the pig in the room?
Yeah.
Like, you can see, like, and then when he kills her, finally. He kills her with a pig. He does.
Yeah.
He kills her with that little fucking heavy pig thing.
Yeah.
And that was a nice little touch where, like, he trips her.
Yeah, that was good. I like that.
And she hits her head off the...
Typewriter.
And, like, he's crawling out, and the way that it's shot, the music, everything, you're just like, oh, he's free.
Oh,
he finally got it. But you see there's more to the movie, and you're like, what's gonna happen? And the next thing you know...
He hits her in the face.
She's on top of him. Again. And he has to kill her.
Speaking of the music... Mm-hmm. Did you hear the music before? It was very low. So I don't know if she was playing the music or if that was the score. But before she was about to break his ankles.
Yes.
It was like, I think it was Tchaikovsky or something like that. I couldn't remember. It was a very famous orchestra, famous very composer, whatever, that was playing. I thought I was like. Because I knew the scene was coming, and I'm like, if they play this music, that's just even more haunting, because this is, like, beautiful music for a very graphic scene. I thought that would have been beautiful if they did that, but they didn't.
Yeah. No, because the wasn't the music score the only... like, completely written and composed by one guy.
It was, but this was actually a famous piece.
Is this a famous piece?
It was,
she
yeah.
She might
yeah.
have been playing it.
She might have been, because she said, you know, she played Liberace when, I think, I don't remember when. I think it was about to start writing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think she might have been playing it, but I thought it was absolutely beautiful that they had, I mean, that's such a beautiful piece of music, and then they go to, you know, they're going to this really horrible, horrible scene.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was like, oh, that's just cruel.
Well, it also shows the duality of her character, right?
Right. I thought she was, like, you know, if you didn't know what this movie was, and you just saw, you know, watched it, no trailer, no review, nothing, no plot, or if you never read the book, you would think, oh, she, you know, she's like this really sweet, caring nurse, you know?
Yeah.
There's sometimes... There was a point when she was talking about the accident, like, maybe she caused it. Did you ever think that?
Yes, I did. For a little bit, I did think it, and I was just like, is that plausible, though? Is that plausible within this universe? What are we doing here? Is this a stretch that she would have caused it? Because obviously she knows every aspect of this man's life.
Yeah, she knew where he stayed. She knew... You know, she said she almost got into an accident herself. When she said that, I'm like, so does that mean you caused the accident?
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, did she cause this accident? Or was she just following him and it happened and she took her opportunity?
Because she did say she was following him. She did say that.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know.
So maybe she did cause it. That's definitely something that I'm not 100% certain on.
And if she did, it doesn't hurt. It does not hurt the story if she did.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make an impact to the story.
No, because she's crazy to a T.
Mm-hmm.
So, I actually think maybe it's kind of like you would go, like, she went, like, extremely out of her way to do this. Like, she actually obviously had this planned out.
It seems like she had this completely planned out, because she has all of these things already ready. She has a room. She has all these tools.
Mm-hmm. You know, she went and bought a typewriter. She went to buy paper. You know, I think she didn't say if she got it that day. You know, she could have had that for a while, you know. Who knows? So, I mean, this was obviously planned. She knew that. She even said herself that he goes up there every time to write a novel. And she obviously knew that.
Yep.
And obviously the cabin or whatever is not far from her place, so. But Kathy Bates, this is probably, off the top of my head, I can't think of any other movie any other big movie she's been in besides this that stand out.
Kathy Bates. What has she been in?
She's in a lot. She's in a lot.
Yeah.
She was
in Midnight in Paris. I love that movie. Blindside. Ugh.
Was she in? Oh, yeah, she was.
Oh, fucking Blindside. Fuck that movie.
Rat Race, cameo, a lot
she was
of...
She in Titanic?
Yeah, she was in Titanic. But all the movies, like, are we saying, does anything stand out, like, her performance here? She was in Waterboy.
Oh, God.
I don't remember in Dick Tracy.
I'm just trying to think, like, I don't... Like, she's been in a lot, and she's still in a lot. She's still in movies, isn't she? Or did she stop making movies?
Yeah, she's got four coming out next year.
She's got four movies coming out next year. Jesus Christ. She was on American Horror Story, I know that.
Yeah, I never watch it.
I never watched it either. I watched a few episodes and that's
I seen the very first episode, then I got lost. I'm like, or I got confused. I'm like, oh, fuck this. So...
It's not confusing, it just didn't grab me.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, it was really weird. I know she was in the office for about 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of TV, so she's been around. She's obviously a, do you want to say a huge name? Would you say a huge name?
Huge name.
Like, if people say Brad Pitt, they know who Brad Pitt is.
Yeah, you say know who Brad Pitt is.
If you say Kathy Bates, would people know who that is?
People will know who that is, but I don't think they'll be able to, like...
She's not a bankable name.
No.
Like, people aren't going to run to her see her movie.
No.
Like, Brad Pitt or, you know, Channing Tatum, whatever. But, yeah, she's, I mean, I would say she's, what, borderline A actress?
Yeah.
Based on her performance or the movie she's in.
Yeah, just based on the movies that she's in.
But I like, this is obviously her playing Annie Wilkes. That, I mean, that role, like, you could even think of it, like, who could, at the time, you can't think of a lot of actresses that could probably play it, but, like, now, I can't picture one actress playing, if they remade this. I can't.
Don't do that.
They won't. I don't think they will. India or India remade it back in, like, I think 2001. 2003. But I think of an actress now that could play this role. The only one that stands out based on her make and would be, you're going to laugh, but I'm just basing it based on looks, is Melissa McCarthy, because she can look like fucking Kathy Bates. She can't pull it off, but she looks like Kathy Bates.
She doesn't have a fucking range.
No, she would obviously, she would fail.
Fuck this up.
She would, but based on looks, that's the only one that pops in my head.
There's a ton of actresses that you could do, because you're looking at the size and the stature of her.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I see that. But I'm like, oh, no.
I probably just gave Hollywood an idea.
But I keep wrestling, like, is this holding up? Is this holding up like The Shining could? Or The Exorcist? Or something? Does this hold up?
The only thing I think it holds up is...
its performance.
Performance and the foot breaking scene. I think that's the only two.
Fight scene was pretty good.
Yeah.
The final fight scene?
That was good.
That was fantastic.
I mean, it is, you know, AFI, it's been nominated. Annie Wilkes is the 17th top villain of all time from AFI, AFI standards.
Why? You can see why.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, amazing. Top quote, I am your number one fan. Nominated for Best 100 Thrills, so yep. It's...
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodly car. You're a lying dirty birdie.
I like the one that she said. She said it. It was from the book, and it was in the newspaper about, I will be judged by a greater man. Or something like that. You know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
I just can't remember the exact quote.
You can also see the fact that she's very modest.
Yeah.
And you can also see that she wears a cross all the time.
Yeah.
So she was raised religiously, so she's...
But you see, when he's looking through that scrapbook, you really saw probably the best backstory from being told. Or from, you know, video, you know, watching a movie, just by the scrapbook, you saw exactly who she was. And I thought that was beautifully done. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, she killed infant babies. Maybe she killed her husband, you know?
Yeah.
Because she even said, I think it was early on in the movie, it was before she went crazy, but she said when she was in Colorado on the witness stand, I mean, like, that's where somebody, that's where, like, when she said that, I'm like, why didn't he devolve and go into that one? Why didn't he ask her about that? But then you saw the scrapbook and it, you know, you saw why.
Yeah.
Which I love that part. I honestly love that, that scrapbook scene. Cause you saw just by the images who exactly she was. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, you can see that she's not always been put together. She doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
She's always been a little wrong.
Wrong. Yeah.
Wrong. I can't describe her any other way. She's broken. This woman is broken. This woman is a monster.
And then, you know, making him write the book. Mm-hmm. You know, that she, it's like the book, the story from the book with the whole Misery Chastain. It's like, I think she said it, like, she named the pig Misery. It's like, she lived that life of the character. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I was thinking she exactly wanted. You know, she lived that, she wanted that life.
Yeah. Well, because her life was probably, like, not what she wanted it to be, or, yeah, like, terrible, or all these other things. And now she found this book, and she found something that she wanted so badly that it's a reality, almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I'm trying to think if there was another movie that, like, did that. Like, they lived a fictional life based on, you know, someone else's work. I'm just trying to think. I can't. I mean, I know there's a movie called Fade to Black from, like, the 40s or 50s or whatever. And some did something, yeah, similar. Which is actually a really good movie, too. I just can't think of it, but I thought that was well done, and, you know, props to the, you know, it's on the writing and the directing, you know, Rob Reiner, who, when you see his name, you're thinking of funny movies a lot. Big, or not Big, I'm trying to think, I'm looking at When Harry Met Sally, that's a big one, Princess Bride, The Spinal Tap, you know. You think of, you know, a funny act, funny, you know, he's a great director too. I think he's a great director.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a, you know, great visionary director for this, but especially looking at his old stuff. Like, I completely forgot he directed Stand By Me. You know, great directing all around. Everything you would want in a thriller. Do you consider this a horror movie?
No.
Just a downright thriller.
It is a thriller. It's a little bit of a drama.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't go far to say, like, it might be. It's definitely something.
This is probably, I mean, movie-wise, out of Stephen King's history, this is probably the tamest movie.
Yes. But it's also, like, the most, it's also, like, almost, like, the most demented,
mm-hmm,
in a way,
mm-hmm,
because it's just showing the level of depravity of a human being.
Right. Right. That's a good way to put it. I mean, his other movies, you know, you got Carrie, Pet Sematary, It. Those are supernatural.
Yeah.
This is God honest real life.
Yeah, this is just two human beings. There's nothing supernatural happening right now.
Right, which is, this is something like this Misery, that's probably like any actor, writer, whatever, probably a fear of theirs. Is that Stephen King, Rob Reiner, Khan, Bates, they brought out, like, this fear. Not for not only celebrities, but anyone.
Yeah.
Which that's probably why this movie probably stands alone on one of his, you know, movies compared to anything else he's done.
It does.
But
it does. I like it. But does it hold up?
I want to say no. I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't hold up.
It's a shame that it doesn't. I mean, Shining is an instant classic, and I think that's more so on Kubrick's name alone.
Yeah, because
hear Stanley Kubrick, what's the first movie that pops in your head? Probably Shining.
Well.
2001?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really? I feel like the monolith, that image, stays with me a lot more than images from The Shining.
Jack Nicholson did pull that. He did a great job.
Yeah, 2001 had the monolith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. But it's either or. It's really either or.
Yeah, like, it's such... 2001, can you watch it again and again? Yes.
Yes.
Because it is a great movie.
You can.
Gorgeous. It holds up.
To this day, and that's amazing.
To this day, it's still fantastic.
Now I'm looking at his old movies.
And, like, for some reason, The Shining, that image always stays with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what is about it, but, like, there's certain things, there's certain ones that are happening to me that I'm just like, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Like, obviously the twins, Red Rum.
Here's Johnny.
But it's like images like the ballroom scene at the bar when he's coming down the stairs. Like, there's certain image, like the storeroom.
Even at the in the snow while he's sitting there.
Yeah, there's just things that are just so.
I mean, every one of Kubrick's movies, they have that stuff that stands out. They did it in 2001. They got in Dr. Strangelove. Clockwork Orange is a huge example as well. Mm-hmm. Full Metal Jackets. I'm not going to say really Eyes Wide Shut, but AI, he just wrote it, but he probably was going to direct it before his death. But stuff like that, everything he did, you know, there's certain imagery that stands out with him.
Yeah.
And that holds up. Everything holds up. He did you know, obviously he's been dead for about 15 years now. You got his movies in the 80s, in the 70s.
Yep.
Though even with the 60s, with 2001 and Dr. Strangelove, they still stand up. You don't have that a lot.
No. You don't have visionaries with that level of skill. Maybe we do nowadays, and we don't know.
Because it hasn't passed
the test. Think about Jurassic Park. Think about the first Jurassic Park. That shit still holds up.
It does. And it's kind of sad that fucking special effects kind of went downhill after that.
Well, we're not going to talk about the other movies. We can talk about Jurassic World if you'd like, because that one
holds up.
That's good.
No, I meant, like, special effects in general. Like, you had Michael Bay's Transformers had the dinosaurs, and they look like shit compared to what Jurassic Park did.
Because it's just... who else did... John Carpenter.
Yes, Halloween stands up.
Halloween stands up. The Fly.
The Fly. Great example. It still holds true.
Oh, God. And the thing. Imagery, because people understand, like, for a long time, we were in this weird setting, in this weird place, in this weird level of special effects, and what we could get away with by computer generation.
Yes.
What can we do? Like, we're growing, we're evolving, we're making things more and more realistic. We can start doing these things, and now it's getting more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're just growing. we grew up in a period where practical was starting to wean out.
Right.
And CGI
started to come in. That's absolutely perfect.
And we had this little window. We had a few directors that went, okay, CGI is going to be a thing, but it's not as real as we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
So they took the practical and they added the CGI on top of it, and they created these beautiful images.
Yeah.
These beautiful images, and that still hold up today because, yes, do we see, like, little CGI things pop out at us when we watch, like, Jurassic Park? Yeah, I do. I still do. But...
You appreciate it.
T-Rex, though.
Yeah, you appreciate it. That's why something like Misery, you appreciate the character of Annie Wilkes. You appreciate that. But the whole, but the movie in itself, no. You don't. That's a very bad thing to say. It really is.
It is.
And it really sucks saying something like that for such a something so good. But you like, with Kubrick, all of his movies, even his earlier stuff from the 50s and 60s, Spartacus and all that shit, it still stands. And I want to say do you think it stands up because he died?
No.
He gets more appreciation, probably.
Oh, yes. Because that brought a lot of attention and a lot of light to his previous works. So obviously more and more people who haven't been exposed.
I'm going to bring up a director two directors that P1 does not like.
Okay.
Tarantino and Kevin Smith. Obviously hates Kevin Smith.
Fuck Kevin Smith.
I'm sick of his ass. If Kevin Smith died.
Yeah.
Do you think his earlier movies, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, do you think they would stand up? In about 15 years.
No. They're time capsules.
I actually like that word.
There's things that work and exist in times of life and period, especially within cinema, that capture everything that it is in that generation, in that decade, within that year, or those months that it was being created. Mm-hmm. They become time capsules. Clerks, Chasing Amy, 100% time capsules.
Yeah.
100%. They're time capsules of those images and those moments. That's it.
I mean, there is stuff.
Do they hold up? No. Unless you have a true appreciation for, you have an appreciation for film and cinema and the art form that it is and for movies in general.
Yeah, for that
even
will.
Even that time frame, then yeah, you're going to love those movies.
But a basic moviegoer will not go see one of those movies if they were released in theaters today.
Nope. They would not.
They wouldn't. I mean, I like Red State a lot. That's probably one of my favorite Kevin Smith movies.
You didn't like Tusk?
Fuck that movie. Fuck that movie.
I saw that at TIFF!
And is it true that it... Is it true that it got, like, a huge ovation and shit like that?
It did.
Were you sitting there like, why?
Me and my friend went, and I'm sitting there, I'm watching this movie, and ever so often we just look at each other, and I'm like, I was just mouth the words, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's like, what the fuck? And then he dragged Johnny Depp into it.
Yep.
Even though...
What the fuck was Tusk? I hated that movie.
From what I read, he's been actually working on that movie for fucking ever. That's like his...
He's based it on a goddamn podcast fucking story.
Yeah.
You know that's where that fucking idea, that plot came from?
Yeah.
On a goddamn podcast. That's like if you and I, right here, right now... decided that we were going to take the Cody Snapchat story and make a movie about it.
It could.
No, you can't, because it's boring as dicks.
Hey, If he could do it, anyone can do it.
No. I was just like, what the fuck? I'm just going to take this time to eat this. I'm just sitting there, I'm just going to eat popcorn. I just ate popcorn the entire time and going, what the fuck? What the fuck?
That was...
And at the end, I like just threw my hands up. People are clapping and I'm just like, what the fuck?
That was absolutely brutal. Like,
were there some moments in that that made me chuckle? Sure.
But a chuckle that you're kind to yourself, not out loud.
Yeah. No. Nobody knew. Nobody. I was like, huh, that's kind of funny. Like,
yeah.
Nobody knew that. Well, like, I felt like maybe that might be a little funny. Also, it might have been a moment where I'm just, like, trying to find something to enjoy about that.
Right. It's...
Oh, man, that fucking movie.
Oh, that movie was terrible. I honest to God...
Tarantino movies? No. I love Tarantino. I do. Oh, my
the
God.
The only one I think that would hold up...
My favorite movie.
The only thing that would hold up is probably Pulp Fiction. That's the only one I think that can hold up within time.
I don't know. Well, yeah, actually, I think you're right, because Reservoir Dogs, again, is just a time capsule.
Yeah, same with Django, 100% time capsule.
I had such fun on Django.
Inglourious Bastards.
Time capsule.
I like Jackie Brown.
Jackie Brown is one of the best movies, like, ever.
I absolutely a huge fan of Jackie Brown. What hold up? I don't know.
Is Jackie Brown Shaft?
No.
Type of thing, right? It's not, because you can watch Shaft now and still have a good time with it.
Yeah, and then the Kill Bills?
No. Definitely not Kill Bills.
The second one's a time capsule, guaranteed. The first one, I think the jury's out.
The first one, if I knew that he wasn't going to continue the story, watch the first one, probably be great.
Yeah.
Because I didn't need an ending.
You didn't need an ending, right?
You didn't need an ending. You don't need an ending. Right. For that fucking movie, you don't, it would have been magnificent if you just stopped it. It would have been There Will Be Blood fucking all over again.
Wait, yeah.
No, fuck, what's that movie? Not There Will Be Blood. What's the movie that just ends?
That's actually a few.
No Country for Old Men.
No, yeah. That's a classic.
Right? You just, bam, done. It's over.
That's a movie that's gonna be a classic.
Right? Sopranos did it. They ended the fucking thing. It just went black. And we were just like, what the fuck happened?
Right.
See, it would have been one of those. You would have had speculation. You would continue to have speculation throughout the fans of your movies.
Like, his stuff, Jackie Brown, I think it's the most underappreciated movie he's done.
Of his? Yes. Yeah,
definitely.
Most definitely. Reservoir Dogs still, to this day, will forever be one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs is a really good movie.
Forever and ever. And I don't think that's Tarantino's doing. I truly believe that is the acting within that movie. It is the story that holds up.
Yeah, that is you the got most
timeless to me.
You got some amazing actors in that movie.
Oh my God, don't you ever. Like, a stellar fucking cast.
I mean you got Harvey Keitel, huge name. Yep. Big name. Tim Roth, not a big name.
Not then.
Chris Penn, same with him. It's the name Penn. That's all that was.
Yeah, that's
Buscemi, he lost a lot due to the fact, because after he did this, he did Fargo, I believe.
And Fargo is great.
Fargo holds up. Michael Madsen, he's that guy. He's always that guy that's off to the side.
Yep.
Who's the old man? I can't think of his name.
Oh, God, what is the old man? Didn't he die?
Yeah, he died about 10 years ago. Fuck. He was in Seinfeld, too. Lawrence. Lawrence Tierney.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. He was awesome.
yeah, like, you have these actors that are just starting out, and, like, you can see the talents that they had.
Yeah, and Buscemi got weight watered down because of Adam Sandler bullshit.
Well, yeah, whatever.
It's true.
You know, you make your bed, you fucking lie in it.
Yeah, and yes. I'm not going to say Tarantino's a god-awful director. He's not. He does have...
Fucking dick.
He's a
shitty human being.
He's a true douchebag.
Yeah, he really is. But? He makes a hell of a good movie, or he used to, at least.
He did. I did like Inglourious. I really did. But I think I liked Inglourious because of Christoph Waltz. I loved him.
Christoph Waltz fucking kills it. He fucking...
He wants some milk?
He made Django.
He did. And the movie loses its charm when he's gone.
Yep, completely. It completely falls dead. I'm like, I have no fucks to give about any of
it. It's because you're putting all your eggs in fucking Jamie Foxx's basket, and he didn't carry it.
No, because he can't. Saw his fucking nuts in that movie too.
You're right. I remember that now. I mean, Django. It's a nice comedy. Even though he says no, it's not a comedy. It's a comedy.
It's a fucking comedy, dude. It's okay for you to make a comedy movie.
It's a comedy. Okay. And then he's got Hateful Eight coming on Christmas, which, seeing the trailer, I don't care about it. I honestly don't. I don't care about it.
Nope.
I mean, Samuel L. Jackson, you know, don't accept every fucking movie.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't.
Like, let's make money.
He doesn't. And then you got... I like Walter Goggins. I like him a lot. And then you got Tim Roth. You got Michael Madsen.
Yep.
You got a good cast. You got a good cast. But...
Yeah.
You know where it's going. You know where it's going. It's actually getting released... I think just on the Roadshow release on Christmas and full release January 8th.
Oh, shit.
You know, January movies is a fucking, pretty much a graveyard.
It is a graveyard.
Kind of like September.
Oh, no, September's more...
When
you're starting to get out there, get your Oscar bait out.
Yeah, you're getting you're throwing it like to the fishes. That's what kind of September
is. Yeah, you're just gonna be like, oh my god, I really believe in this project.
But you don't
like
get
this is a really deep movie.
You're not gonna get box office huge numbers September because that's what all the summer movies really are. January is just a fucking graveyard because one, nobody cares about movies in January.
No.
I mean, I think Paul Blart's the highest grossing January movie of all time. What was that?
Walmart makes me upset.
I'm actually looking. I'm looking.
Makes me so upset. Walmart makes me so upset.
Yep, it is Paul Blart.
I was hanging out with somebody, and they're like, put on a horror movie.
Paul Blart.
I put on fucking Paul Blart.
You're right.
And I thought I was the fucking funniest person in the world.
Yeah, Paul Blart is the highest grossing January movie of all time. Paul Blart.
I think we just need to end the world now. We're done.
Paul Blart.
We're done. We're gone. We fucked it up. Nobody make any more movies anymore. That's it. Fuck it.
Paul Blart.
So I think we should, like, wrap this up. So while you look that up, I'm going to give my fucking... rating.
I'm just saying again, Paul Blart.
You're just saying Paul Blart again? You're just hurting my soul.
No, it's just because that is... Because I'm just thinking of some movies that were released in January and be like, that could not beat Paul Blart. You know, that could not be... Like, Cloverfield. Decent movie. Could not beat Paul Blart.
Found footage, too.
Star Wars Special Edition got released in 97. Did not beat Paul Blart.
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. That pretty much signifies movies released in January mean absolutely shit. Ride Along came close. Ride Along came close, but it didn't pass it. Mm-hmm. And this is just domestically, not worldwide.
Okay.
But son of a bitch. I'm like, I'm kind of with you. That kind of hurts my soul.
Yeah, because I fucking love cinema. I love cinema. I do so fucking much. And Paul fucking Blart.
And it hurts my soul, too, that Avatar is still the highest grossing fucking movie of all time.
Avatar wasn't even real. Fucking Dancing with Wolves in space. It was Pocahontas in space.
Yeah.
God damn it. Fuck people. I hate people. People wonder why I hate people. It's for moments like this. Right here, right now, you won't fucking watch Paul Blart and you thought it was fucking funny.
Yeah, but at least the second one bombed completely.
Thank God. I know. The fact that it was made and it made that much fucking money that it...
Actually, I kind of want
people to make another one? No, Kevin Smith is a dickhole and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's an ass and he sucks at acting and he's not
fucking...
white dude who falls down and eats.
It did make oh my God, worldwide it made $107 million.
I'm sad. I'm just fucking sad. God, I wish I still drank. I would fucking be drinking right now.
You fuckers. I didn't know it made $70 million domestically.
Hate everyone. Hate all of you.
So what's your thoughts on Misery?
My final thoughts on Misery. All in all, this movie is a thriller, not a horror movie. It's a nice expose. Please shut up. I am giving my final thoughts, you fucking piece of shit cat.
Well, now.
It is a great exploration of a man trying to survive mm-hmm. with some person with severe mental illness. And, like, it is a wonderful, wonderful, like, I can't say that fucking Kathy Bates didn't hit it out of the park, because she is phenomenal in this movie. This is, like, one of the best acting performances I've seen in a very long time, especially back on Throwback Tuesday so far, in the short run that I've been on. So this is one of the best movies. Even next to Fantasia, this is one of the best movies that I've been able to watch. Mm-hmm. But does it hold up? No.
No.
No. Unfortunately. My love for cinema has gotten me through this movie. And it gives me appreciation for how far we've come from 1990 to now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I want to see an actress more. I want to see more actresses with this level of depth. I want to see more of this. And the, like, so that's all I'm asking for. So I, you know what, I'm going to give it a stream it. This is definitely a stream it.
I'm pretty much with you. Kathy Bates carried the whole movie with her bipolar personality. You know, it's very simple. It's a very simple story to, you know, revolve around two people. Yeah, I'm with you. It does not hold up, and that's an absolute shame. Something like this, which is, you know, beautifully done. Cinematography was really good too. Beautifully done movie. It's just, it's a shame it doesn't hold up. It's kind of like a footnote.
Yep.
In cinema, which...
It's one of those movies that you watch when you're taking a film 101 class.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's obviously, in my opinion, one of Stephen King's best movie adaptations. One of the best. And I would say more so on the thriller standpoint, which that's what this basically boils down to. This is 100% thriller. Beautifully done. Acting, Kathy Bates, obviously the best. Khan, I wish I saw a little more of his ability on here, because I've seen it before. And it's just, I can't say he mailed it, and I can't say it. I'm just, how I... Wow, I said he didn't do a good job. I'm just thinking of maybe that was just the character. That's the only bright spot I have to that. But I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of going to give it a high stream it.
Yeah. Stream it. Well, I'm not giving it a high stream it. I'm just
going to. Well, I'm with you. I'm kind of with you, but it's a high stream it. Well, I probably watch it again. Probably nope. Not in a long fucking time.
Nope.
I would need to have like a Stephen King marathon or something.
Yeah, it would be something that maybe like, we're gonna put on Misery in the background at a party.
Mm-hmm. But this movie does bring out the fears of something like, because this instinct can happen to fucking anyone, and that's mm-hmm. fucking scary.
Yep.
You're like, and that's why I think it was beautifully done, because it brings out the helplessness as you were at James Caan. Like, that's, it was just great. But I can't give it a see it. I can't.
No.
I mean, it sucks. If it could hold up to this day, I'd 100% see it, but it can't. It's no rewatchable value.
No. It's not rewatchable.
No. Which, it's a shame for such a really good movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame that you can't say that.
Yeah, we think back, and when I first watched it, I thought it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I'm older,
mm-hmm.
nope.
You appreciate it because, one, we don't get the thrillers like this anymore.
No.
We don't get that. I can't remember the last thriller we fucking had that was even in the fucking ballpark as this. We don't get it. So... I mean, it's an honest to God shame,
mm-hmm.
but you'll have that with something like this.
I agree. Well, we've got some questions from the last Throwback Tuesday.
Fantasia.
Oh, yes, Rodrigo. Well, Sammy, if you ask me, Cody might be more monotone than Z. The guy really doesn't have a personality other than being TPO sidekick. You guys say he's good, but he's been the same since being on the site. You can clearly see the transitions Luke and Wayne made, but Cody is still a bland douche who's trying to play this good guy persona. What do you think? What do you think?
I'm not gonna say he's a douche. I'm not going to say Cody, you know. I mean, I was a monotone today, so.
Well, you're monotone all the time. You don't really change your pitch or tone at all. That's just who you are as a person.
No, listen to the other Throwback Tuesdays.
What, the older ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. What happened, Z? Did you die inside?
Every day.
Every single day. Every single time you make us watch one of these fucking movies, we die a little bit more.
Hey, P1 and I put together a good poll this week. You won't have that all the fucking time. You were going to win. No. You were going to have a good movie regardless.
Yeah, I was going to have a good time. No,
you don't get that all the time.
Though. It was close. Misery won out with one vote.
Yeah, which is, that's a vote. Common, that's a very common trend.
I was just like, oh man, come on, please, Shining Wind.
I was kind of hoping, because I, honestly, from what we talked about, I thought you were going to pick, and then he sent me a text, I think yep. Monday night or Tuesday night, and said Shining. I'm like, oh, okay. Misery. Yep. Because we talked Westerns. We thought we were going to do a Western.
I know, I'm so excited. I have my little Western list, too. So I'm just, you know what? I'm going to hold on to that.
Well, I was going to say, just pick one and I'll pick, that'll be my pick. If you want to do that, because I don't really have a movie in mind for next episode. Right now.
We'll see what he wants to do. He might want to keep with the trend, like, that he picks the movies. So, but...
Well, it's actually my pick. It's actually my, it's my pick.
Is it your pick this year?
Yeah, it's my pick.
A good Western. Let's go old school with this. What ones do we talk about? I think...
Fistful of Dollars you brought up a few times.
Fistful of Dollars. I also brought up Blazing Saddles.
That'd be a fun episode.
Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah, I brought that. No, I brought Last Mohicans up. You told me to fuck off. You told me to fuck off. You want to go dance with wolves?
Let's do it. Why
that's
not?
A 3-hour movie.
Hilarious. Oh man, I'll be fucking pissed the entire time.
That's a 3-hour movie. Are you 100% positive? Shit. Yes.
Fuck that then. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah, I don't have 3 hours to watch a movie.
You don't have 3 hours to watch
it. Not in continuous time.
Not a continuous time.
Well, that could be a movie. Jesus
Christ, Z.
That could be a movie you can actually stop, because there is a break.
There is a break.
That could be that could be one of those movies.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so name another Western at me.
Well, I was kind of, when you said Blazing Saddles, I'm like, well, we could probably do that one.
Well, I don't care what we do.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles it is.
That's my pick.
Your pick is Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Blazing Saddles, and I gotta think of which one, because when I think of a movie, I kind of like, what is he gonna counteract it with? I always do that. I was like, what movie is he gonna counteract it with? I've never been right.
What is he gonna do with fucking?
He's probably gonna pick another Western.
He's gonna have to.
Or the direct.
I don't want him to watch a fucking Western, though.
Well, he's not back yet.
I know he's not back yet.
He could pick a Gene Wilder movie. He could pick a Mel Brooks movie. I mean, he can completely go off the wall. He can pick Spaceballs or,
Don't do that.
Don't do that?
I want Spaceballs.
I like Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is fine. I just don't want to fucking watch it again. I haven't watched it in years, and so therefore I don't want to fucking ruin whatever love I have for it.
Yeah, so, I mean, who knows? I don't know what he's going to pick. It's you know, he's 100% wild card. Young Frankenstein, you know, we never know.
What else is there? Like, Broken Arrow.
Yeah.
Legends of Hellgate. Hidalgo, I think, is another one I said.
I mean, I don't know what his, you know, expertise on Westerns are.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But I'll pick Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles? I would, you know what? I'm going to go Hidalgo because I know that's a shitty movie.
You think he'll go with Hidalgo?
No. No, he won't. No, he won't. But to get back to your question, your comment, Rodrigo, I don't know about the Cody, the monotoneness. I feel like Cody's been steady. Not monotone. Cody's been, he just got out of the gate and he's just keeping pace. Has he grown as a host? Maybe, maybe not.
Not like Luke or Wayne.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Definitely fucking not. Luke and Wayne are just hitting it out of the park every fucking day, and like, I wish I could step up my game to be as good as those two.
Well, no one has the personality of Wayne. Nobody. His
5-minute rush thing, kill me.
And I think he was driving that one.
I know.
He was driving, recording, and reading a letter all at the same time. I'm like, holy fuck, you're gonna die.
I was waiting for him to die. I was like, fuck, if he dies on this, we're posting it, Wade. You realize that, right? But no, I love it. I don't think Cody's a douche. I don't think he's bland. But I think he's been keeping pace. I think he needs to stretch himself a little bit more. A little bit further. Push himself. Hear that, Cody? Push yourself. Moving on. Ariana. 3 weeks? That's pretty much the rest of the year. Will you guys be doing a best of worst list on Throwback Tuesday like last year? Will P1 even be back for that? P.S. Keep laying that pipe down, Z. Pivot ain't easy, but someone's got to do it.
Yes, he'll be back. I think we said the 20th, right?
Yeah.
So the 22nd episode will be the best and worst.
Yeah.
And you gotta come up with the best and worst list.
I do have to come up with the best and the worst list. I do.
How many movies have you done?
How many movies have I done?
Yeah, your first one was Spider-Man, right?
Spider-Man. Lol. See, no, but he wants me to do one for, like, for the last year on all of Throwback Tuesdays. He wants me to compile my own best of the worst list on Throwback Tuesday. And I am doing that. I'm doing it. So, yes.
Worst.
Ariana.
The worst is very easy.
Worst is easy.
Worst is easy. The hardest is the best. That's the hardest. Because we did a lot of good movies. I mean, the last one episode he did was, looks like he posted on the archives, is 113, so he's kind of behind on that one. So I, you know, but yeah, the 22nd, so in 2 weeks, will be the best worst.
Yes, we will be doing the best of the worst. And P1 will be back for that.
He's in London right now.
I know.
I think he saw Star Wars out there, didn't he?
I do believe he did.
I don't know if he saw it yet, but he's out there, and plus Wayne and Luke's cousin's out there.
he's just having a good time.
Yeah, and I think I asked him if he's ever been to London before. I think he said no, so this might be his first trip out there.
Oh, so he's having a great time.
Yeah. Hopefully nothing to keep him there forever, but...
I like how you're not even acknowledging the second half of the comment.
Pimpin' ain't easy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pimpin' ain't easy.
Because there's nothing to acknowledge.
There's nothing to acknowledge. Just be yourself, man.
There's nothing.
We ain't no snitches here.
There's nothing to acknowledge.
All right. Oh my goodness. We got a comment from Wayne.
Wayne comments a lot.
Wayne comments. But Wayne doesn't comment on Throwback Tuesday.
Well, once in a great while.
I didn't even know. I didn't even know? That this motherfucker listens to Throwback Tuesday.
Well, what else is there to do in Australia?
I know, that's true.
I mean, what? Climate?
I don't know, making that fairy floss shit that he does.
Like, yeah. Yep.
Little ass bitch right there. What the fuck? Grow some balls, motherfucker. Stop making fairy floss.
Wait in comments once in a great while.
Well, he says, guys are making me cry, sad face. So touching, guys. But fuck Cody and his lazy, uncourageous
ass. He capitalized that one.
Fuck that word up real hard.
Yeah, it is.
Smiley face, how dare he turn down poor little Annabelle's wishes?
Cody's got no heart.
No.
Wayne's really pushing for that, too.
What? Oh, God, yeah, of course he is. I am, too. Like, fucking right. God damn it.
When's that poll supposed to go up?
What?
About the host switch.
I'm not sure yet. I know right now we have two polls up. We have two. We have, which has been your favorite podcast of the year? And there's movie spoilers. Throwback Tuesday, the obvious winner. Not a worth a kick in the ass. That title is way too fucking long.
It is.
Spoiling of the movies. Fired Up. The Recap. Daredevil. And weekly movie reviews. And we also have, who has been the best host this year? Wayne, Z, Cody, Luke, or me? I'm definitely the obvious choice. Because I'm just the cutest one.
I'm going to vote for you.
You're going to vote for me?
I voted for you right now? Right now.
Aw.
Bam.
This is why Z's like one of my favorite people. Right here.
Thank you for your vote.
I ride him real hard, but he's like one of my favorite people.
Thank you for your vote.
Yes, thank you.
It is 100% official.
Yeah, so go and vote. Go and vote in these polls. We want to know you guys.
We don't know when they end. We don't know when they end.
Yeah,
I mean,
I think, don't know when it ends.
I think they've both been about a week, right?
Yeah, just about a week, I think. So we want to know from you guys. We want to hear what you have to say.
We get
and also Wayne.
Also what?
Also, just I want to comment. Like, no problem, man. Like, honestly, you got me in this podcasting game. I don't know why, but you and I have been on this podcasting road together. You for a little bit longer than I have, but...
How long were you doing with CJ?
A long time, but me and Wayne started on MaxCast.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, we started on MaxCast. I did one MaxCast episode, and it just grew from there, and ever since then, it's just always been me and Wayne. Like, obviously, I've taken breaks in between, because after fucking... Dragon and the fucking wolf fell underneath. I just stopped, right?
Right. And then you came back and did The Walking Dead.
Then I came back and I did The Walking Dead, which was a fucking shit show because there was too many people, shitty opinions.
Wasn't like no four, was it four or five?
Five.
Was it five people? You can't have podcasts with five people.
No, because and we're all fucking dickholes, so we don't give a fuck, and we're gonna talk over each other.
Yeah, I mean it's a lot of strong personalities too.
Well, whatever. You get me and TPO on the same fucking podcast, and we're fucking both strong personalities, and we
five, don't ride each other. Five strong personalities.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Well, CJ. CJ didn't talk.
He didn't talk. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to fucking talk. And I don't know why they didn't give me a fucking chance to talk, because I can tell you exactly how many people watched it. I can pick up on these little things, and like, The Walking Dead is my shit, and they wouldn't let me speak? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you're probably, I mean, I am still, like, far behind on Walking Dead.
Catch up.
I'm on season two. That's why I said I'm far behind.
Season two, the one that I had to defend the most.
I'm at where I think I stopped when Sophia walked out of the barn. That was...
Just before starting getting real good. Because season two solidified exactly what The Walking Dead was. So what happened was the first season was setting everything up. Setting the universe up, setting the personalities up, setting these people up as people.
Yeah.
The second season was all about them. It really solidified in my mind, The Walking Dead is not about the zombie apocalypse. It is about the people within the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, because people change.
Exactly. Zombies are just the backdrop to The Walking Dead. That's it. That's what they are. And so I get to watch these characters over these last seven seasons.
It's been seven seasons?
Is it seven seasons or like what? Six? I think we're on our sixth season?
I don't know. Because
I know it just got recently renewed for the next season.
Holy fuck.
Of course it did.
Well, yeah, I knew that was going to happen because the ratings are fucking immaculate.
Mm-hmm.
It started in 2010.
Jesus, 2010. I've been with this show for this long and I love that fucking... I love that.
Season 7, did they just go to their mid-season break?
I do believe they just went for the mid-season break.
Next episode airs February, Valentine's Day.
Yep. So you know what I'm doing for Valentine's Day.
Walking Dead and chill.
I'm watching the fucking Walking Dead because Walking Dead.
Fuck chilling.
Did you just fucking say that? I am not banging anybody during The Walking Dead. I'll be like, don't even look at me right now. We're going to wait until the credits roll. And then I'm going to need like 15 minutes to rant at you about everything that I fucking saw.
So do you watch Talking with the Dead?
No.
You don't watch that?
No, I don't.
Since I have like consistently, I got up to that part that where Sophia walks out of the barn. But I have seen episodes with the governor and stuff like that. So, like I can't think of her name. What's the fucking blonde's name? That Andrea? Died in, huh? Andrea. Yeah, I saw her die.
Yeah.
Because AMC, like right before they're gonna start the season, they do like the whole marathon of every episode, and I did catch those. So.
And I watched them all. I do. I marathon the last season before the next season comes on.
That's
I
fucking
do. That's what I do.
That's dedication. A lot of people do that. A lot of people do that. A lot of my friends
do.
Because you got to catch up. Like, I actually have, in my, like, the next, I'm not directing, I'm producing it, but I have two people from The Walking Dead in the movie.
What?
Yeah, Officer Bello.
Oh.
The one where the sister got killed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy was a zombie. He was one of Michonne's pets.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, so they're both in, got him signed into the movie, so. Excited about that.
Yeah. I would be excited about that. Those are faces that people are going to recognize. Maybe not so much one of the Michonne's pets, but the officer. Like,
well, he was on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. They both actually go to all the convention, Walking Dead, the zombie conventions.
Yeah.
And they're like one of the headliners there, so, you know, it's cool, and they're really cool. They're really cool. I talk to them all the time. They're really cool.
That's awesome,
Z.
That's a really great, Mark.
Thank you.
But, Wayne, I can't stress this enough. Like, we've been on this podcasting road together for so long, for so many years, and I just want to say that I truly appreciate the fact that you've taken me along for the ride, for the mistakes that we've made and that we've learned from. Because we've made some fucking mistakes, bro. We've made some fucking mistakes. But we've learned from them. We've overcome them. And we continually overcome them. Every single podcast. You are inspiring, and you are one of my favorite podcasters of all time. And I am so fucking lucky I am able to call you my friend.
Wayne is literally like a, he's like a human, like a gem. As a friend.
He's a great friend. He's an even better podcaster.
So we'll see whenever the poll happens, what happens.
What the people say.
And you gotta think that if Cody does win, is it a win or a lose?
It's a win.
It's a win. Is he gonna honor it? Because he has not wanted to honor some bets where he lost.
Because Cody's a little bit of a bitch sometimes.
So, we'll see when that happens.
Please, don't be a bitch, man. Don't be a bitch.
I've only done maybe 3 podcasts with Cody.
Yeah.
The Sex and City, I think we did Focus. And I can't remember if he was on Transformers 4 or not. But
I can't remember.
I don't think so, because we did that for like 2 hours. We were just bashing the whole fucking movie. Then we had that holiday special from Halloween. We'll see what happens. It's an interesting poll. It really is.
It's a very interesting poll, and you know what? If I lose to Cody, I'm gonna be fucking pissed. I'm a riot. I'm gonna fly down to LA so he won't have to fly up to Canada. I'm gonna choke that pretty boy's ass out.
He might like it.
I know. Probably will. He's a sick fuck.
He might like it.
And in response, Andrew says, Cody did The Darkness with CJ, and that show was pretty terrible. Then when P1 left it, it became incredibly boring, like Do the Bear 2.0 or something. Z, you might be monotone, but at least you have some balls, unlike Cody's cowardly ass. Keep up the good work, Z.
I remember Do the Bear. I remember that.
I remember Do the Bear, too. I have flashbacks. PTSD shit right now.
You're like shaking. You're like shaking.
Just sit in the corner. That sounds like a fantastic weekend, CJ. Just rocking. Oh, that's really funny, CJ.
I have not listened to a lot of Darkness.
Don't!
It was just those three, right?
Yep. It was just those three. And you know what? It was fun. But I feel like The Darkness should have just been a one-off. Just a special kind of episode that they just got together, watched some shit, laughed, made fun of it, and then done. Should have been a one-off. A lot of these ideas should be one-offs.
Kind of like spoiling all the movies, how they do that once in a great while.
Yeah, just every once in a while, just pull us all together. Like, that's what it should have been. But it wasn't. But I fucking agree. Fuck The Darkness. Fuck Do the Bear. Fuck it all.
I remember Do the Bear vividly. Well, thank you, Andrew, for the kind words. I'm not always monotone. I'm not.
He laughs sometimes.
I do.
It's occasional. Occasionally, he laughs.
You listen to the old, you could tell I'm not monotone, the old throwbacks.
You're not. We sit there and we make fun of you and we say that you're a monotone motherfucker, but I know you're not. Sometimes you can hear your passion and you can hear things and you change.
Mm-hmm.
It's just certain movies. I feel like it sucks the life out of you.
It does.
I can hear it. Y'all don't hear him when it's just us. You don't hear him before the podcast. You don't hear him after the podcast. He gets excited sometimes. It's great.
It does. I mean, I can't think of the throwbacks that I missed. Halloween, I would have been Dead Snow. I really like Dead Snow.
Fucking Dead Snow. Goddamn, that fucking crow.
I like that movie. What was the other one? Do you remember?
No.
I can't remember. If I go back, but it's certain movies like Radio. It was Radio.
Radio? Well, fuck me.
And Leon.
Well, yeah, your pedophile ass pick.
Hey, I did not think of that until I heard it. I'm like, oh. I honestly didn't.
And then we're right.
Because I'm like, oh. Because, like, you know, we did Don't Be a Menace. That was like a late Saturday night, wasn't it?
That was a late Saturday night. We had to record that early.
Because he had a screening or something.
Yeah, so, he had a thing to do.
There's some movies that, like, they literally, like, really suck the soul out of your body. And you're, like, dead inside. But, there's some, like this one, you know, it didn't suck the soul out of me. So, like VHS did.
Oh, God.
VHS did. Omen did. Just, you know, looking back. But, you know, I'm not monotone. If it's like, if it's like a really, should I say adrenaline rush type of movie?
Sure, if you want.
Yeah, so, you know, that's where it's at. But I'm not even slightly monotone. I have a personality.
He does.
I actually have, like, a fun personality.
See, I wouldn't go that far.
I absolutely do.
I absolutely do not believe that.
If outside, off the podcast, I do.
Outside, yeah. Okay, so what are you trying to say? You get on this podcast and you're like, welcome everybody to Throwback Tuesday, and I'm Z. Like, you monotone motherfucker. Jesus Christ.
I don't do it like that.
But it's fucking well. God damn it. Alright, everyone, where can they fucking reach you at?
They can reach me at Twitter at SBulldog99 or on Facebook and Google+ at Chad Zuber.
Well, the people can reach me on the Twitter. That's at Miss Sammy. That's M-I-S-S-S-A-M-I. Please tweet my ass. because I had a series of tweets like a couple of weeks ago about this class, and I got shit for it. I got so much shit for it. So if you want to see the tweets that I got shit for, please, let's have a conversation about that. You can reach me on the Google Plus. That's Samantha Brown. I am also on Facebook. That's Samantha Brown as well. I'm on everything.
Snapchat.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Snapchat.
Have you gotten any Snapchats from listeners?
No, nobody wants to add me on Snapchat. Nobody wants to join me and Cody in our sexy Snapchat game.
Can you have a three-way Snapchat?
Probably not, unless we all send it to each other all at once, keep going back and forth. So, like, Cody would have to send it to me and somebody else.
Okay.
And he's not going to do that.
I kind of want to see a Snapchat between you, Cody, and Wayne.
It'll be all kinds of fucked up.
Wayne would send you, like, stuff. He'd be like, do you think my girlfriend will like this?
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like, is this nice? Is that something that you think she'd like? And then Cody's, like, just doing, like, deep V-necks and, like, pouting at me.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's me just, like, just being flirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So, well, everybody, this has been Throwback Tuesday, episode 124. I'm Sammy.
This is Z. I had to, like, stall, because I had to, like, this is 125, actually.
Yeah, 125.
You said 124.
Did I?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I had a stall while the page loaded up. So, yeah, it's 125.
Well,
it's okay. We trust me. P1 has done
I'm
that a lot,
go
too.
Walk off a fucking cliff before I go watch the Steelers game today.
Don't do that.
No, I'm not going to do that. But anyways, I'll talk to you all later.
Bye.
Bye.